He is awesome. We serve an awesome, awesome God. Thank you all so very much. Y'all done awesome. Praise the Lord. How great is our Lord? He is so great. He is so awesome. Enjoyed Sunday school class this morning. I was thinking a little bit to myself, of course. Question that had been asked, if God was who He says He was, made and created all things, how come bad things are happening, how much evil in the world? Thank you, Brother Cody. I appreciate that. I'm going to get him up here preaching for me one of these days. Get him out of his box. You done good. That's a start, bro. I appreciate it. And I got to thinking, if we really want God to take care of it, He did that once. And God can do it again. It's His mercy and grace that He puts up with it. Hello. It's His mercy and grace that He puts up with it. You know why? Because He loves us so much. He wants to give us every opportunity in the world that we'll turn around and follow Him. Amen. How great. Is it all right if I come down here with you guys this morning? Time of Thanksgiving. Is that all right? All I need is one or two. Okay. God is awesome and He is marvelous. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 10. I haven't talked to Chris about the lesson, but so many things that he said correlates with my message today. Of course, you know, you can say, well, that happens because it's Thanksgiving season and everybody's kind of settled in for that. But I think it's more than that. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and directs us. And I just want to talk to you a little bit today. The title of my message is, Where Are You Setting? Where are you at? Where are you standing? Where are you setting? Where are you at? So Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. And it came, and they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, or in other words, in our language, Barnabas, sit down and shut up. Be quiet. But he cried even the more, a great deal, and the son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Somebody say, Jesus stood still. One man. He stood still. And he commanded, well, as a matter of fact, in the book of this is recorded in three different gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Matthew, it's recorded that there's two blind men that cries out to Jesus. So, but regardless whether it's one or whether it's two or whether it's just you, Jesus will stand still for you. And he commanded him to be called, and they called to the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he casteth away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered, said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. My subject and the point of my message is, Where Are You Setting? Is there's two different sides of the road, or usually there are where I'm traveling. And you can either sit on one side and be thankful, or you can sit on the other side and complain and be grumpy. So I ask you today, where are you sitting? We have the mentality of our world today to be somewhat complainers. Anybody, let me rephrase that. The person you're sitting by has a tendency to complain. How many's ever complained about roses having thorns? You ever wondered why? You ever wondered why God made roses and put thorns on them? Okay. Roses are so pretty, so gorgeous, smell so good, but they have thorns. Have you ever looked at it this way? He loved you so much that those thorny bushes he put pretty flowers on. So instead of thinking the roses have thorns, why don't you consider that the thorns have roses? Which side of the road are you on? Are you on the complaining side, or are you on the side that has gratitude and thankfulness? I don't know if you're in need of sending a thank you note after a shower, or if your boss gives you a raise or a bonus. I don't know if when it is appropriate, but I do know that in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, out of the abundance or out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means gracious, gratitude, the overflow, the joy in the heart. It's when one has that joy and that gratitude of the heart, it speaks from the mouth. In other words, our attitude will affect our behavior. If you cultivate an attitude of gratitude, thank you notes will probably follow. If you recognize the good things another person has done for you, you'll want to let them know it. The key is when we feel grateful. How do we do that? Do we feel grateful by comparing ourselves to third world countries? Maybe or maybe not, or very seldom. Often we perhaps think about that. It might even create guilt or arrogance instead of thanksgiving. But let's be real. When life is stressful, when people are annoying, or just downright mean, I'm sure none of you has encountered any annoying people lately, but just in case you do, consider being thankful. When we just seem that we can't get ahead, and it's just not realistic to thank our lucky stars that we don't have malaria or some other kind of weird disease. Besides, it's very possible for people in the worst possible situations to still have gratitude and still be thankful. I said it's very possible for people to be in the worst possible situations to still be thankful. Can I tell you that thankfulness comes... I ain't forgot about Barnabas, so hang on, okay? Thankfulness comes when we are able to step back from whatever circumstances we are in and see it as a part of a whole. We sometimes have that attitude of poor me, but when we step back, when we're able to see things clearly, and we step back and we see it as ourselves being a part of the whole. That's where Barnabas was. He didn't gripe and complain. He seen the need that he had, seen what was coming down the road, and he was thankful for it. I'll get into that a little bit more. But when we stop and see that the circumstances we are in is a part of ourselves, is a part of the whole, and when we know our purpose goes beyond our personal happiness, that's tough sometimes to grab a hold of. But the purpose in our life goes beyond our personal happiness. Every act of kindness can be recognized as a bonus, and we can be thankful. Remember, some people grumble because roses have thorns, but I just want to be thankful because thorns have roses. So I turn the page now to where Barnabas was. The miracles where Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus is recorded again in three different Gospels. And it's strange because only Mark mentions his name. Isn't that strange? And I think what's even stranger is he calls him by blind Bartimaeus, but after he meets the master, he drops the first part of that. Isn't that awesome? When you meet the Master, things change. He's no longer blind Bartimaeus, but he's Bartimaeus. Now, if I get into this story and I use his nickname, I might call Barnabas Barney. It's a lot easier to say. Anybody know any Barneys? So if I use Barney for Bartimaeus, you're immediately going to think of the guy that runs around with a little badge or the purple dinosaur. But some way or another, you're going to relate to this story. So Barney is going to be the subject of this story. It has some unique aspects which we are going to explore. As Jesus performed this great miracle, prior to his day and the days before that, Jesus was busy dealing with current issues of that day. And as I begin to describe them, you're going to wonder, things hadn't changed a whole lot from Jesus' day to our day. The issues that we face today. But a few verses back to that, Jesus is teaching the people, and the Pharisees come and ask him about divorce, trying to trap him. And Jesus told them that was permissible only because Moses gave that decree, only because of the hardness of their hearts. Here we see some spiritual people trying to cause confusion and perhaps grumbling and complaining because they wondered what the act or the divorce proclamation was, and Jesus gave them the consequences, even though he told them that Moses gave that decree simply because of the hardness of their heart. But he gave them the consequences of divorce and remarriage equals adultery. So he addressed that issue specifically. Then Jesus gave attention to the children. I'm going back a little bit in the passage of Scripture, but I want to set a scene here. Jesus pays close attention to the little children. Who doesn't love little children? Even the annoying ones sometimes are cute. Right? And maybe there was three or four of them in the crowd, and the disciples tried to get rid of them. Get them out of here. Get away from them. I mean, just being kind of obnoxious and didn't want anything to have. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, they was kind of sitting on the grumpy side of the road. Am I right? They was kind of sitting on the grumpy side of the road, so they told Jesus, "Get these kids out of here. They're driving me nuts." I mean, your mamas have said that. "Honey, get these kids out of here. They're driving me nuts." Jesus gives special attention to the kids, and the disciples wanted to run them off. And then Jesus said, as he was persistent and paid attention to the children, he set a precedent as he spoke to his disciples, and he said, "Hey guys, unless you become like these little ones, you're not going to make heaven." Hello? Jesus facing the issue of that day. They was griping about the little kids. And Jesus said, "Hey, let me tell you something. Unless your hearts, your minds, your tenderness, your attitude, your spirit." We can learn a lot from a kid. They may be mad and ready to fight one minute, and they're loving and hugging and kissing the next. Us adults are not quite like that. It takes us a couple, 3 weeks or months to get over it, if then. And Jesus, again, sets a precedence, and he's saying, unless you become like these little kids, you're not going to make heaven. And then in the midst of all that, he kind of gets that resolved to his disciples. And then here comes this dude dressed up in fine clothes, three-piece suit on. And he said, "Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus spoke to him from his heart, desiring to have a relationship. But the young man was more concerned about earthly wealth and his status than he was really eternal things. Hear me this morning, church. Jesus desires a relationship. The young man was more concerned about his earthly wealth and status. So what side of the road was he on? He was on the grumpy side. And Jesus said to his disciples, clarifying some things, It may seem impossible with what he said to the rich young man. It might be impossible for a rich man to enter into heaven, but Jesus said that through him all things were possible. There's a way out. There's a way. You can have a grumpy side or you can have a positive side. You can still reach him no matter what you got in your pocketbook, no matter what your name is or what role it's on. And then in the midst of all of that, talk about the grumpy side. Jesus foretells of his death and resurrection. He's trying to get his disciples to realize what he is facing and what's fixing to happen to him and the dilemma that he's in and the position that he's in. And he begins to tell his disciples of his death and his resurrection that's fixing to come up. And the only thing that they can think of is James and John is worried about their position in eternity. Kind of self-centered, narcissistic. But listen, their carnality captured the hearts and the minds of these men, even when Christ's life was in jeopardy. Sometimes we can get so busy. Life can get so hectic. We get so many things on our mind, and before we realize it, we're on the grumpy side of the road, sitting there wondering what our position is or what's going to happen to us when there's a lot bigger picture going on. We are complaining about the roses having thorns, when if we'll just go over to the other side, we'll realize that the blessing it is that the thorns have roses. Their carnality captured their hearts and their minds, and they was worried about who was going to be the greatest when they got to heaven. And Jesus taught his disciples that their lives was to become servants. We sometimes like to be the center of the focus, the center of the story. But Jesus said it's not the center of the story that's going to get you where you need to be. It's becoming that servant. We mentioned this either last week or in Sunday school class, that when Jesus met with his disciples at the Last Supper, the last time, and he was giving them principles of becoming the servant. And he gave a supreme, we mentioned in Sunday school class last week, or I did. He gave a supreme example when he got up from the table. And you know, Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet," and blah, 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 and all this. And Jesus got up from the table. He took off his outer garment to position himself as a common servant, to serve them. When he went to the cross, he took off his garment, or was stripped from him, that he become a servant, that you and I might have eternal life. We absolutely, realistically, have nothing to gripe and grumble about. We have everything to give thanks for. And I'm almost back to Barney, okay? He promised and he told them that we must become a servant. He put, just as he told his disciples to become servants of men, he himself put his life in the hands of men to become a servant himself. Not only at the table with the disciples, but of the world. He became the servant of all, laying down his life for a ransom for whosoever will. Isn't that awesome? For whosoever will. We worry about and we are concerned about the aches and the pains and all the problems and trials and all the stuff that's happening to us here. But this is just a short period that's going to soon pass away. And if we're faithful to the very end, we will have eternal life. Blind Bartimaeus, again, was the only one. In the book of Mark, was the only one that gave him his name when he was healed. Barney was on the side of the highway begging. Say, well, that sounds like he was whining. No, he wasn't whining. Barnabas was in a position, as he was a blind man, he was doing what he had to do. He was doing what he had to do to survive. He wasn't whining. And I'll show you in just a minute why he wasn't whining. He was at the side of the road. He wasn't on the whining side. He was on the side doing what he had to do just to survive. When he heard that Jesus was coming, He cried out from the bottom of his heart, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And he exposed himself that, "God, I need your help. I cannot do it on my own. I'm in a predicament. I am in a state, but I've got to have your help." He realized where he was. He realized who he was. He realized where he was at. "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." It wasn't a whining. He didn't use the card of "poor, poor me." But he realized and recognized who he was, where he was, and what his predicament was. "And I've got to have Jesus for my help." Barton didn't use the "poor, poor me" sympathy card on Jesus in the crowd. He just simply recognized his need. Can I tell you today that we simply, each and every day, need to recognize that Jesus is the answer to our whole situation and problems? Barney realized and saw himself as he was, a sinner saved by grace. Did you get what I just said? Barney was blind. But he saw himself as a sinner that needed to be saved by grace. Sometimes blind people can see more than people's got two good eyes. And I think that's exactly where Barney was here. He was sitting on the side of the road. He was doing what was necessary to get him through life and just survive. But he heard that Jesus was coming, and he realized that he was a sinner that needed to be saved by grace through Jesus Christ. And he cried out to him, and the crowd couldn't make him shut up because he knew his only hope was Jesus Christ. His only hope was Christ. Barney saw himself as a sinner who needed the grace of God. In his state of blindness, stay with me for just a little bit, okay? I'm probably going to let you out early today. Whatever God wants to do after I get through, and I want to be right smack dab in the middle of His. But in Barney's state of blindness, he could see very clearly that Jesus was his answer. Wow. In his state of blindness, he could see that he could not allow the crowd and the things around him to distract him. It's very easy for us as a human to allow things to distract us. We not only allow individuals to distract us, we allow circumstances to distract us, we allow Madge to distract us. You all know who Madge is? Our imagination just kind of goes crazy. Well, surely this one done this, and this one done that, and this one don't like me. And so we allow Madge to distract us and get the best of us. But in the midst of it all, even though Barney was blind, he could see that he could not allow the crowd to distract him. Barney was blind, but he could see that Jesus was the only hope for his healing. How many knows that Jesus is the only hope for our healing? Probably, he could see, though he was blind, he could see that Jesus was the only hope for his healing. He was blind, but he could see that through Jesus, his life could be changed forever. You today should be thankful and on the side of the road of thankfulness that this is not one of those hour and a half messages. And it could be, but it probably won't be. So get on the right side of the road and be thankful. Though he was blind, he could see that Jesus was the only hope for his healing. Barnabas was blind on the side of the highway, but he could see he had to get up. He had to get rid of the garment that was holding him back. He had to get to Jesus because Jesus had called for him. Though he was blind, he had to see that he had to get rid of the distractions and he had to get rid of what was holding him back. Does that not line up with the Word of God? When the Word of God tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. The weight and the sin. Not everything that's holding us back from getting what God wants us to have is sin. It's the weight that we allow that wraps us up and sucks us into the world society and keeps us from being what God wants us to be and keeps us from doing what God would like for us to do and being available to Him. We like to choose what we want to do because we don't want it to inconvenience us or get in our way. So we choose. But God has so much more for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He was blind sitting by the highway, but He could see. He had to get rid of the garment that was holding Him back. He was blind, but seeing that Jesus was His hope and healer. Barney was thankful. He was grateful. In so much of the fact that he said, the last verse of that chapter said that he followed Jesus in the way. To me, that lets me know that in his capacity to once again see, he did not lose sight of Jesus from that day forward. I think it was Barney that was grateful because he followed Jesus in the way. Someone once said a long time ago that none is so blind that will not see. We live in a world today that is filled with blindness because they refuse to see the truth. But the Word of God tells us the truth will set us free. When we have two good eyes but refuse to see the real issue, that's when there's a real problem. When we look at what side of the road that Barney was on, he was on the side that he could see his need and he could see that it was through Jesus was his only hope, and he had gratitude and he was thankful. Helen Keller once said, "It's better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing." Barnabas was blind and poor. His situation had him sitting by the highway near Jericho begging for his next meal, trying to just make it one day at a time. Barnabas' name actually meant honorable. Not honorable, but honorable. But there was really nothing honorable about Barnabas until the day he met Jesus. Until Jesus passed by. Until Barney seen his need for a physician. He was hopeless and blind, but the day he met Jesus, no longer could he put the word blind in front of his name, because now he was Barnabas. The man that was touched by the Master, that spoke His name and brought him to Him and opened up the eyes that once could not see. It was Jesus who gave Barney hope. It was Jesus who gave him his sight. And it was Jesus who gave him his life. So I ask you today, where are you sitting in this season of Thanksgiving? Are you grumbling and complaining because you didn't get everything at Walmart to fix your Thanksgiving dinner, and you are absolutely despising chasing down the crowd? And as far as you know, the can of pumpkin pie mix that you need probably won't be on the shelf anyway. And you're just about shot. You're exhausted, you're tired, and you're grumpy. So in the morning, you're going to let grumpy sleep and you're going to get up and go to work anyway. But it was until Jesus passed by. Again, I ask you, where are you sitting? Are you on the sidelines? Hanging out by the side of the road? Are you down and out and feel like nobody cares? Nobody understands? Poor, poor me. All this situation, all this circumstances, I've got more thorns than I've got roses, so I'm just going to wallow in my self-pity. But are you thankful? Have you decided to cross the road to thankfulness, saying that I've got so much to give God praise for? He saved me. He healed me. He's touched me. And the circumstances of my life is so much bigger than just me. God's got a plan for it. I may be going through some stuff right now, but God's got a plan for me. I may be going through some things that I don't understand right now, but God's building character in my life. And sometimes I feel like I've got all the character I need, but evidently God's got more that I'm going to thank Him for it. I'm going to give God praise for the thorns that has roses. I wonder today, Chris, go ahead and come to the piano. Perhaps you're feeling today like you're unable to see, unable to move. You can't get off the sideline. Circumstances got you wrapped up like the mantle that had Barnabas wrapped up. And you just simply cannot get in the game. You can't focus mentally. You can't get it in your heart. Your legs won't work. Your arms won't work. And you're just absolutely about to go berserk. Can I encourage you today? Get up. Take off what's got you strapped down. Realize what your handicap is and what's holding you back. Don't use the self-pity deal. And begin to call out to Jesus. I wonder today how many of us is blinded by our stubborn will, or we just refuse. We reject and refuse to see the real issue. You're stuck on the sideline by our own choice. But I encourage you today to call out to Jesus. I encourage you today to unwrap the things that are burdening you down and got you held back and cry out to Jesus. Can I tell you that Jesus is passing by? All you need to do is cry out to Him. Focus on Him. And I promise you, He will meet you where you're at. Would you stand with me all over the building today? Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 7 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." We must have an attitude of gratitude, because we've got so much to thank God for. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment. I wonder today if this message has spoke to you. You'd slip up your hand and say, "Pastor Mike, I've been struggling. It just seems like that I'm in a predicament that I can't get out of. I can't get my mind to think right. I can't get my heart to think right. I just can't get motivated." Would you slip up your hand and say, "Today I'm going to call out to Jesus. I'm going to cry out to Him." I promise you, He will meet you where you're at. The enemy's doing everything he can to distract you, move you, reposition you, but you're in a position to cry out to the healer, to cry out to the Savior. He's the one that can heal you, cleanse you, save you, clear your mind, give you an attitude of gratitude. Right where you're at, would you just lift your hands, church, toward heaven? Say, "Heavenly Father, here I am. I pray, God, that You will turn me inside out and upside down. And let Your Spirit minister to me right now, oh God. And help me to get off of the grumpy side of the road on the grateful side of the road, knowing that through You all things are possible. Lord, I thank You, precious Jesus, that You shed Your blood that I might have life, that You might have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can have eternal life. Lord, I thank You. I give You praise. I give You glory, and I give You honor. If there's anyone in this house today that needs Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I give you an invitation to slip out of your seat and come to this altar and invite Jesus Christ in your heart and your life. Here today, and you just need something special, know that these altars are open. But I ask you today, what side of the road are you on? If Jesus would come today, would you go to be with Him? Would you spend eternity in heaven with Him? So great a salvation. We'll wait for just a moment. altar so rich and so free. Can we sing it together, church?
Oh, I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me so great.
God bless you. See you tonight.